Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Have you ever felt like my thinking is going in circles right now? I need a fresh perspective. Or thinking, you know, I'm stuck in a rut. It's like my thinking, I just won't get out of this rut. Well, that's what these questions help you do. A question is often one of the best clarifiers of a situation you can ever do. So you collect really good questions. Like I was on the Focus on the Family board, and we were having a discussion, should we build a new building or not? It's a building that's there now. I think it was $22 million. It was a pretty good sized decision. But we just talked about it for 2.5 hours, I think. We just couldn't make up our mind. And we started going this way, and we sort of felt like we're stuck here. And one of the board members asked one question, and 2.5 minutes later, we had decided and we were on. He said, what would be the ideal solution long term? Well, long term, we knew what the solution was. The ideal would be to do it now. And it was like, well, if you're looking for what would be the ideal long-term, we know what it is. Well, let's just do it. And so what I've done is to gather 10 questions for you that I'd encourage you to ask whenever your thinking gets stuck in a rut or going in circles. Now, rather than just teach these to you as an academic exercise, what I'd like to do is have you get in your mind a situation that needs fresh thinking. It can be a decision you're making, can be a situation you're wrestling with, can be a problem you've got, can be an opportunity you're considering that you want fresh thoughts on. With that situation, keep that situation in mind, and then let's ask these questions about it and see if any of them will sort of help get out of the rut or out of the circular thinking, okay? Number one is, in a single word or sentence, what problem are we solving, or what issue are we dealing with? The emphasis here is single word. Is it a time problem? Is it a money problem? Is it a people problem? What is the real situation you're dealing with? If you could put it in a word, what is it? So you've got real clear, focused, profoundly simple focus on what you're trying to deal with or what you're trying to get clear on. Okay? Number two. What would be the ideal thing for us to do in this situation? Which option would be the ideal long term? That's the same question that we were asked at the board meeting. But let me ask it of you. In the situation you're thinking through, what would be the ideal long term? By the way, the ideal is almost an ideal question, because no matter where you are, when you say, well, what would be the ideal, it moves you up a little bit. You can be getting, you know, you can be very high, doing very well, and say, well, what would be the ideal thing to do? It moves you up a little bit. So that's a great question. What would be the ideal answer in your situation, the thing you're thinking about, longer term? You may be sort of blocked in your thinking by thinking, I have to solve it today or this week or this month. But if I gave you a year to think about it, a longer term, what would be the ideal longer term? Does that bring any fresh perspective to what you're thinking about? Number three is, why are we doing what we're doing? The why question is a question that a six-year-old can stump a PhD with just asking why. Well, why that? Well, why that? Well, why this? Well, why that? Six or seven whys deep, the PhD will say, because I said so. Literally, you can't ask more than about five or six, seven whys deep. You just run out of answers on any subject. But what we're trying to do here is get to the bottom bedrock of the situation you're in, the situation you're thinking about. Why is that important to you? Let's say, for example, someone came along and says, well, look, what you're trying to think through here, that's not important anyway. What would you push back with? What would you argue with? What would you explain why this is an important thing? If they said, no, it isn't. You say, yes, it is. Well, why is it? And what would you tell them is the reason why what you're thinking through right now is important? Why is it important that you work on this, think about it, brainstorm about it? Number four, what changes would we make if we had unlimited time? If you had unlimited time, how would you solve it then? How would you deal with it then? What if you had 50 years to deal with it? I say, I'll give you 50 years, I'll pay your full salary. You just think about this one issue for 50 years. If you had unlimited time, how would that change it? You may have to actually decide it by next month or next week, but if you had unlimited time, how would that change it? What if you had 3 years? I said, you can take 3 years. What difference would that make? And then three days. If I gave you 3 days, I say to you, you don't have 3 months. You don't have a year. You have to deal with it in 3 days. You see what that would do in terms of just forcing your thinking into imaginary parameters that would force you to think differently than you have been when you think, well, we've got probably 3 months or so. And then what if I said 3 hours? You have to decide in 3 hours. Or what if I could some way put what you're trying to think through on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is, it's a great idea, we should do this, and 1 is, it's a terrible idea, we should run from it. If we had that kind of a situation, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? Where 10 is, it's ideal, we should go ahead and do this, and 1 is, we should never do this. How would you rate it 1 to 10? In 3 minutes or less. Whatever your answer is to that gives you a look at what your instincts are actually feeling about it. If you say 0 to 1, meaning it's probably a bad idea, I'd think about just stopping it altogether right now. If you had said 6, 7, that's a yellow, meaning I don't know whether it's good or bad. And 8, 9, 10 is, I think it's a great idea, meaning, well, I think you should probably pursue it. And then, what if we had unlimited staff? One of the big roadblocks to clear thinking is often, we don't have the staff to do it. I say, well, what if you did? What would you do then? If you had the staff to do whatever you're thinking about, would you go ahead and do it then? And he said, well, what do you mean unlimited staff? I said, well, what if I could give you 300,000 people? Give you their full-time salary for 2 years, their computers, their office space, I could give you everything they need. I could hire them and just pay them for 2 years, 300,000 people. And you could put them on the situation you're thinking about. How would it be different? Would it then be a good idea? How would it change it? Pardon me? And had high confidence in all these people. You rate them all a 10. Yeah. Yeah. Their competence is excellent. You get to choose them, and you get to watch them for 2 years even before you choose them. But what if you had all the staff you can even imagine having? How would that affect the situation that you're seeing right now? Then what if I said to you, look, the idea you're thinking about right now, I'm not sure about it. I'm going to cut your staff in half, but you still need to do it. How would that change your thinking on it? How would it, you still think it's a good idea? Would you think, well, hey, we'd have to cut this or this out of it. Well, if you have to cut this or this out, if I reduce your staff, maybe you should cut this or this out of it now. What if I just gave you 1 or 2 extra people? Just 1 or 2 people extra. What would they do and why? Because if I gave you 1 or 2 people, what would you have them do? Well, if I had 1 or 2 people, I'd have them do this. Well, then maybe that's the key to what you should be doing now with the 1 or 2 you've got. Number 6, what changes would we make if we could double our current budget? Whatever your budget is, 50,000 pounds for this event, your event or problem or situation you're dealing with, that you've got allocated 50,000 pounds to this issue. What if I said, okay, you've got 100. Whatever your budget is, if I could double your budget, what would you do with it? What would you add? Because what you would add may be the very thing that you should protect at all costs in the idea. What if we had unlimited budget? What if I gave you 30 million pounds? Am I about to? No. No, I'm sorry, I can't. But if I did, what difference would it make? What would you see in terms of the potential of this idea that you don't see now? Half the budget. Here's a question that you can ask yourself often to sort of jolt your thinking. And that is, how can we double the income of this idea and cut our costs in half at the same time? Whatever idea you're thinking through, what if you had to double the income from it and reduce the expenses in half? Now, do you have to? No. But just by imagining it, often it shows you different values and different dimensions and different weights in the very thing you're thinking about that you can't get clear on. Which part of the total idea warrants extra funding? Let's say, for example, the idea you're thinking about may have 5 or 10 moving parts in it, 5 or 10 aspects of it. Which one or two of those, you say, that one or two things really warrant extra funding. These two things are really important. And then which ones could you drop and not really miss? Why not drop the two that you won't miss and take the money you put on that and put it on the ones that warrant extra funding? So the program just gets better almost immediately. Number 7, what if our best idea turns out to be 100 times as successful as we planned? What would be the implications if it just really, 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 really worked? Huge worked. What are the implications in terms of results, ministry, effectiveness? What would we need? Buildings, people. No, it's what if it really worked big time? Just a thought. Now, I'd like to stop here and say, you can ask yourself these questions like I'm asking you in the middle of the night when you're all alone. You can ask them in the daytime by a stream or by a lake or wherever you want to. You can ask yourself these questions anytime. And when you do, one way to do it is to imagine you and I are having a conversation. These aren't just questions. These are questions I'm asking you, okay? And then the other thing is, see this list as draft one. In other words, these are some of the questions I would ask you, but you may have questions that you would ask someone else to help them think something through. Well, add it to this. We've got 10 questions here. Add the questions you've found helpful in the past to sort of enlarge your thinking, brainstorm things. Whatever questions you find helpful in the past, add them to it and get 12 or 13 or 15. And then when you run into a situation and you're sitting there watching the situation, someone asks a question that sort of unlocks everything, add that question to it. So that 10 years from now, the list is just stronger and stronger and stronger. But I was telling someone in the last session, I think I could take any idea and run through these questions in about 10 minutes. Because I'm familiar with them. I just go through and say, what if this, and what if this, it's like, it doesn't take long once you know the questions. In 10 minutes, you can really, once you've been through it two or three times, just read through it two or three times, really. You could take 10 or 15 minutes to think in a brainstorming way about anything you're thinking about. It doesn't take that long. But what takes a long time is trying to figure out what the right questions are. You sit there and say, "What should I be thinking about this? You know, how do I even approach this?" Well, coming up with the questions is what takes time, but asking the questions doesn't take much time. So you could take every program you've got, ask these exact same questions, and think it through, find whole different new fresh thinking on every program you've got in X number of hours. Or you could take your group through it. You could take your team through it. You could basically, either you can go through it yourself and then take your team through it. Or, if you prefer, you could say, team, let's get together. What is the one thing we need some fresh thinking on? And the team talks about it. They say, well, what we need fresh thinking on is this. All right. Ask us 10 questions to think about and take your team through these. It basically will lead to fresh thinking, whether it's yourself in the middle of the night or some subject you're thinking about that's brand new, a new program you've got, whatever it is. Great. Number eight. Question number eight. What three things could keep us from realizing our full potential? As you're looking at the situation you're in, what are the three things that could absolutely blow up on you? What are the three things that could keep you from getting where you want to go, keep you from realizing your potential? What are those three things? You say, well, Bob, there are at least 10 things. I say, okay, there's 10. What are your top three? Because you don't want to be dealing with the 10, but what are the top three? If you could deal with only the top three, and how do you deal with those to sort of clear the way to let your ideas develop? What are those? And then how can we clear away the roadblocks? Number nine, what are the three greatest strengths and how do we maximize them? Peter Drucker says that the role of an organization is to maximize the strength of the individual and make their weakness irrelevant. I agree with that 100%. What you're trying to do in the idea you're thinking about is to maximize the strength of it. So whatever the idea is you're thinking about, you want to ask yourself, how do we maximize the strength here? Where is the strength? Of all the things we've got, of all the pieces in the puzzle, where is it that's a unique strength right here? And how do we absolutely maximize that? How do we put the time, energy, money to maximize that piece? Maximize strength, make weakness irrelevant. And then as you think about these things, if you've got these things swirling around in your mind a little bit, you've got some things you've thought of that are fresh and new and et cetera, then you want to move to some kind of action, to practical action. Here, Steve Douglas, a few years ago, probably in the early 90s, asked me this question. He's now the president of CRU, which is the form that used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, is now called CRU. We were working on something, and Steve said, well, Bob, what are the three things we could do in the next 90 days that would make a 50% difference? I said, Steve, do you ask that question all the time? He says, I don't think so. I said, I don't think I've ever asked the question before. By the way, a high percentage of the things you want to keep and write down that you say, you've never said before. But when you say something that makes sense, that seems a breakthrough idea, always write it down. And then figure out later where I want to file it or where I want to put it or do I want to add it to a list or file it over here or ask that every time I get in this situation. But when you say something that you think, you know what, that's helpful. Write it down, because if you don't, you'll forget it the next day, if you're like me. So I said, I don't think so. So we got it word for word. Now, let me tell you the two questions that as a leader will focus your thinking faster than almost any other two questions I know. The first question is, if we could only accomplish three measurable things in the next 1 year, next 12 months, what three things would we accomplish? Again, if we could only accomplish three measurable things in the next 12 months, what would we accomplish? Because that gives you a long-term view, longer-term view. It gives you size. It gives you weight of all the things we're doing. What are the three heaviest things we need to really do? It just gives you a lot, almost instantly. Now, the second question is, if I could only do three things in the next 90 days to make a 50% difference where we end the year, what three things would I do? And that focuses your next quarter that fast. The next 90 days, if we could just do three things that make a 50% difference where we end the year, what three things would I do? Those two questions are extremely powerful in focusing a lot of sort of what I call whirling thinking, that a lot of ideas we get floating through our heads, etc. By the way, if you're an idea person, one of the things that you want to see is that there are certain priorities you need to set, like 3 for a year kind of thing. And there are a lot of ideas you have that need to go somewhere. They're great ideas. They're actually very good ideas. But you can't pursue 17 ideas at once. So what you do is you get a file, an electronic file on your computer or a file in your cabinet or something like that. You get a file for all your good ideas, your great ideas, and you say, I don't want to forget. I don't want to lose these ideas, but I can't pursue them all right now. I'm going to focus on this one. As soon as this one's done, I'll pull out all my other ideas and say, all right, of all the other ideas I've had, which is the next one to work on? And you keep phasing it in, keep phasing it in. And you never lose a great idea. You do not want to lose a great idea, but you can't pursue them all or it'll kill you. And if you've got an idea person on your staff, tell them about this, because they can drive you crazy with every day they have a new idea and they want you to pursue all those ideas. So you say, look, that is a very good idea. Don't lose that idea. Unfortunately, right now we can't pursue it because we got this as a priority. But don't lose that, because when this is done, we'll look at all the ideas you've had and see which ones we work on next. So it's not demotivating, but it's prioritizing. So with those ideas, you ask, if we could do, with this brainstorming you've done, if you could do just 3 things in the next 90 days to make a 50% difference, what 3 things would you actually get done out of this fresh thinking? I asked Steve Douglas, I said, Steve, 50% of what? And he said, it doesn't matter. He said, you can ask it, what are the 3 things we could do in the next day to make a 50% difference where we end the week, the year? You could say, what are the 3 things we could get done this decade to make a 50% difference that I'll make in life? If you want a fog cutter with your life, that's a good one. If I could just get, how old will you be 10 years from now? Most people don't like to ask the question because it makes them sound so old. Oh man, I'll be that old? Oh no, I'm getting up there. But when you ask yourself, by that birth date, if I could only do 3 things that would make a 50% difference in the contribution I make to life, what 3 things would I do? It's a fog-cutting question. It gets you out of the rut. It gets your circular thinking sort of straightened out. Okay, what I'd like to do is explain some of the elements of why this works, and then I'd like to open it up for questions. First thing is breakthrough. What you're looking for is a way to see alternatives and break through to new thoughts. And you want it so that with these questions, the speed of discovery is limited, meaning you don't take 10 weeks to come up with new ideas. You want it so that in 10 minutes you can find out where the potential is that you're overlooking. So break through ideas quickly. You want to stretch the context. The reality is that nothing you've ever thought, are, have done, nothing is meaningful without a context. Nothing. But when you imaginarily stretch the context, say, realistically, we only have our budget to work with. Well, what if you had triple your budget? Well, if you stretch the context like that, it stretches the meaning of what you're looking at. That's what happens when you ask those kind of brainstorming questions that stretch reality or compress reality. If the context changes, so does the meaning. And so you can look at what you're trying to figure out and say, well, what would it mean if we did this? Well, what would it mean if we did that? It gets you out of the rut when you ask unlimited time, half the money, etc. And then limiting assumptions. There are certain assumptions that a lot of people make that limit our creativity. One is things like, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, nothing new under the sun, why try? I say every day people come up with things that have never been before. And if your instincts say, well, What does it mean with Scripture? In Ecclesiastic 1:10, it says there's nothing new under the sun. I asked Jim Cece this yesterday, and he said, or a couple of days ago, and he said, it's Solomon's rabbinical reflective comparison with Psalms or something like that. It's like you who are theologians know what it really means, but it doesn't really mean there's been nothing new under the sun. It doesn't mean that specifically in the Hebrew or Greek or whatever it was in. Now, if you think there's nothing new under the sun, why would you stretch your thinking to try to imagine something new? You wouldn't. But if you assume, no, there are a lot of things. We could think of things that have never been before. Well, that's what you're trying to figure out is, how could we look at it in a fresh way that's never been looked at before? Now, here's another thing that's just sharing with you late in the afternoon. I asked a fellow one time when I was writing my first or second book, I said, well, what if somebody's already written on this? He said, well, have you read it? I said, no, I've never seen anything on it. He said, well, what if 10 people have written on it, but you've never heard it? There are 5,000 other people that haven't heard it either, so go ahead and write it. In other words, if the idea that you've got that you come up with is new to you, just assume it's new. And if someone else has done it in another city or another country or something, what does that matter? It doesn't matter because it's new to your experience. And go ahead and develop it if it's new to you. Now, you don't obviously always have to start with a blank sheet of paper and come up with new things. You can start with what I call adaptable samples, where you start with how did three other people do it successfully. And then I take, adapt from him and adapt from this and this and create something that's better than any of them. Adaptive creativity is just as creative as original creativity. Start with a blank sheet of paper. However, your mind processes it is okay. Your mind may start always with a blank sheet of paper, and I say, hey, here's some samples of how other people have done it successfully. I say, I'll leave them over there. I'll look at it when I get done. So it's like I think it through first. I come up with an original solution, and then look at those to see if I've missed anything. Other people say, no, give me some adaptable samples. I'll take some from here, some from here. I'll create something that's better than any of them. Whether you are an original creator or an adaptive creator doesn't matter, as long as you come up with things that get your thinking into a new pattern. Another is mom and dad did it. This is the way mom and dad did it. In other words, we often get stuck, frankly, in patterns that we saw our parents do, extended family do, region of the country do. I say, don't limit your thinking to the way your family has always looked at it. Your family may have been putting artificial limits that they had that you don't have. Maybe they always said, well, we can't afford that, when maybe you can afford it. Maybe they say, well, we don't have the education to do that. You say, well, maybe you do have the education. In other words, don't limit your thinking to what those you grew up with were limited by. And especially, I can't afford it, because I can't afford it is fixable. But if you always let I can't afford it restrict your thinking, how are you ever going to get anywhere? And then informal research. One of the things you want to remember is that there are two kinds of research, by my definition. One is formal research, where you basically hire a consulting firm to come in and give them 100,000 pounds, like a Gallup Corporation. I don't know if you have Gallup here or not, but like in our country, a Gallup Corporation. And they'll do $100,000 worth of research or $500,000 worth of research, and then give you something that's 98% accurate. But you can get to 80% accurate by asking the people in your audience, write 10 people, the right 10 questions in about 10 minutes each will give you 80% of what you need to know. So I call it informal research. If you want to know how to get your thinking out of the rut you're in on the subject you're thinking about, ask the people that you serve, what do you really want or need? And they will come up with answers that you're not even thinking about, because they're not you. It's a way to stimulate your thinking quickly, is just to ask the people that you're serving, how could we serve you better? And the two questions, the two profound questions that you're really trying to ask is, what do you really want or what do you really need? And what they want or need is what kind of service you're trying to provide.